Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Happy Mardi Gras today. Welcome to Southern Sense. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie. And unfortunately, my co-host is not with me today. And hopefully, you will be able to join with me on Friday. He's had a family emergency. And speaking of emergencies, as I was being rushed to the doctor this morning, and Mike was handling his emergency, my cats decided to wake me up this morning. One behind my head, one curled up in my tummy. And one got jealous of the other, and I ended up smack in the middle of a cat fight. And consequently, I've got these special bandages all around my eye because that poor cat on the pillow, I got decked by Rocky. And I was lucky I was able to close my eye in time. Otherwise, my eye would have been scratched. So I got home about maybe 2 hours ago and just popped a couple of pain pills. And hopefully the scar will not be too bad. But that said, as I was being treated, Mike was handling his family emergency, so now just seems to be one of those days. Want to welcome everyone into the chat room, and our landline is open. It's 917-889-3675 if you want to join in with the conversation. Our guests will be joining us at 3:15. Today is primary day in Texas, and she's on the campaign trail and running a little bit behind. So her campaign manager called me about 45 minutes ago, and instead of joining us at 2:15, she'll be joining us at 3:15 to the end of the show. So I want to tell you all, just hang in there. She will be with us. And I do believe this is my friend here. Good afternoon, area code 202. You're on the air live with Annie. Who am I speaking to?
This is Ken McClinton from the Exceptional Conservative Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing? Thank you for joining
us
today. I'm making you my co-host, okay? So you just got coerced.
I got promotion. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we'll have fun today. I mean, it's been one of those days. And my husband was working on a rental property my mother has, and he was replacing the bathroom floor. Well, guess what? He went through the floor. So now he's walking around limping. I have this eye that's going to turn nice and black. So when I go to church tomorrow for Ash Wednesday, my rector is going to be looking at me going, what the heck happened to you? I got punched by Rocky.
Yeah. Time for confession. There you
are. And well, my prayers are right now out to Mike and his family, and hope everything will work out fine. I said
exactly.
A couple of things before I came on. Speaking of saying prayers and dedications, those that listen to the show know we start off each show with a dedication to a fallen hero. And today's dedication, if I can get my notes here, is going to go out to Marine Master Sergeant Aaron C. Turin. Turin died February 15th, last month, of wounds when conducting combat operations in Afghanistan. And as I try to fudge this on my own, I am looking for the Marine Corps hymn, and here we go. This is from the Marine Corps Times. A member of the Marine Corps Special Operations Command has died on his sixth combat deployment, according to Kentucky media. Master Sergeant Aaron Turin, 36, was assigned to the 2nd Marine Special Operations Battalion. He was killed by an improvised explosive device that detonated Saturday in Afghanistan. Although the Defense Department has not yet officially announced his death, a Facebook post by his mother's church, the Heartland Worship Center in Paducah, Kentucky, said he was critically wounded. Later that day, however, other online communities began posting news of his death. Among them was CrossFit Wilmington, a North Carolina gym that calls Torrens one of its original members. The announcement of his death was quickly followed by an outpouring of condolences and praise for the Marine, remembered by those who knew the husband and father of three as diligent, dedicated, and caring. He felt strongly about what we, the USA, were doing, and we backed him 100%, his mother Esther Smith told TV station WPSD6 in Paducah. She told the station that her son would be buried at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. In 2006, the former reconnaissance Marine was named the 2nd Marine Division's 2005 Non-Commissioned Officer of the Year, following what his command has called a stellar performance during Operation Phantom Fury, the brilliant 2004 fight to wrest control of Fallujah, Iraq from insurgent control. This distinction recognizes Marines who excel in job performance, physical fitness, and leadership skills, all traits Turin exhibited while participating in Operation Phantom Fury, the push through Fallujah, Iraq in late 2004, leads a 2006 Marine News release announcing the award. Then a Lance Corporal, he said, he worked around the clock, learning every weapon system to effectively lead his 5-man unit through the insurgent riddled streets. He was promoted from Lance Corporal to Sergeant in just 4 months, according to the 2006 release. This is from Kenzie Cunningham, 6 News in Wilmington, North Carolina. The College Acres Baptist Church lined Eastwood Road with American flags to honor the memory of their fellow church member and Marine Master Sergeant Aaron C. Turin. Church members lined Eastwood Road with American flags to remind those passing by College Acres Baptist Church of the sacrifice of Aaron Turin and show support for his family. We decided to put the flags out because on church Sunday, there was just so much distraught, and we all felt like we wanted to do something. This was something we can do to let them know we're here, and we love them, and we're praying for them, said church member Dan Weigert. The flags along Eastwood Road complete with a memorial sign outside of the church. Master Sergeant Aaron Turin's funeral was held Wednesday, February 26th at Arlington National Cemetery. We dedicate this show to Master Sergeant Turin, and we dedicate it to all men and women who have served, who are serving, and who will serve, not just in the military, but also in the
Thank you. down in the grip of oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up. Taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt,
you can get that at his website, toddallenherrington.com, or download it from YouTube. I love that song. You know, I met him in person, his wife and his son. His son plays in the band with him. They are such wonderful, wonderful people. So I want to give him all the support he can. And I understand he's got a new album out, and I'm trying to get him back, but he is so busy because he's getting so popular. I'm going to have to call him up and slap him around a little bit, get him back on. What do you think? Talking about slapping people around, I got this email in my inbox the other day, and I went hysterical. Lindsey Graham is in my sights, all right? Everyone knows you can easily get me riled up by starting to discuss something Lindsey Graham did. But this gets me crazy. Because
exactly.
You turn on TV or something like that, especially on Fox News, and they want to talk about something international, whether it's the Middle East, the Ukraine, or something like that. They always pop up Lindsey Graham and John McCain. And I keep on screaming at them, going, don't you guys have any other assets to tap instead of those two rhinos?
Oh, you know, When they retire, there's not going to be any news coverage of the GOP. They are the official spokespeople for the GOP, and I'm just wondering who their replacements might be, because they can't seem to find anyone else to make any other commentary on the matters at hand. You are so right. Just absolutely right, Annie.
Well, Friday, March 14th, after I get off the air, there is a fundraiser for Lindsey Graham at a local restaurant, just about maybe a mile and a half away from, not exactly a mile, I would say about 5 or 6 miles from my house. And I happen to know the restaurant very well, and they're going to be there from 5:30 to 7 at night, and guess what? I'm going to be there. Now, if anyone goes into the southernsense.webs.com website, you'll see a store on there. Click on the store, and I have Dump Lindsey Graham merchandise. So I ordered for myself off my own site a Lindsey Graham, Dump Lindsey Graham t-shirt, and it's bright yellow. So there's no way you're going to miss me. And I am going to be out front. I'm going to see if they can let me in the restaurant, because the second they see the shirt, they may not want me to walk in. I walked in out front.
Listen, tell Lindsey Graham I'll send him $1,000 if he takes a picture of you next to him.
Why are you going to contribute to his campaign? I thought you were my friend.
Oh, that would be absolutely, that would be the most tweeted picture of the night.
Now, if I wasn't on his shit list before by getting quoted in Politico saying I would actively work to see he's not reelected, that definitely on the shit list.
I just see how hard up for money he is. That's raise some money for that particular picture right there. That would do it right there.
Well, I said if enough people purchase the merchandise off my website, whatever profit I get, I will take out a full-page ad here in South Carolina, a full-page ad explaining why Lindsey Graham should be dumped. And I'm hoping that it's going to happen.
You did a wonderful job with, I believe his name is Bowling, who was on your show previously, the gentleman who is running against him.
Oh, you mean Lieutenant Colonel Connor?
Yes, Connor, forgive me. Connor, Lieutenant Colonel Connor. You did a wonderful job with that particular interview, and he has such an array of individuals who are shooting for his job, some of which you can love, some of which you can hate, Richard Cash, Nancy Mace, and a few others that have jumped in there. It just seems like this is a good time for Lindsey to try to retire and find something else to do, like golf in South Carolina. I think that would be a better thing. Maybe go to the Clemson football games, too.
No. We're going to send him up to New Jersey, and that way he can be a senator from New Jersey, because he can work with Chris Christie very well.
He can handle the bridge matters. All bridge matters are now handled by Lindsey Graham. There you go.
Yeah, well, the lead candidate right now running against him is Lee Bright. And I spoke to his campaign just the other day, and they want to come back on. Lee Bright had been at our Tea Party meeting this past month, and Bill Connor will be at our Tea Party meeting this month. I'm trying to get all the candidates. The only one that has refused to come to the Tea Party, never even with an excuse why, was Nancy Mace. And the more I learn about her, the less people are finding her favorable, because she's really not campaigning. You know, she just picks and chooses. Like, she'll do nothing for weeks on end, then all of a sudden she'll do something. That's not how you campaign. I'm sorry. I mean,
exactly.
If that's how you handle your work ethic, then I see no work ethic there at all. And then it came to light. I don't know if you remember when Nikki Haley was first elected. There was a whole bunch of rumors going around about her having an affair with this one guy.
Well, exactly.
This one guy that was making the accusations has a website called Fit News. His partner in Fit News, Nancy Mace.
Wow.
Okay. So,
amazing.
You know, yeah, it is amazing. And people will, because she's a Citadel graduate, well, yes, Bill Connor is also a Citadel graduate. That's not a reason to support her. So everything I see from her, she talks a good game, but I don't see any follow-through, honestly. And the three main people that you have right now would be Richard Cash, Bill Connor, and Lee Bright. And Lee Bright right now in the polls is leading them. So it looks like at this point, Lindsey Graham does not have 50% of the vote. He needs 50% plus one. If he doesn't get that, he's forced into a primary runoff. The best thing that could happen is the vote gets so split, he ends up being in like second or third place. And then someone like Lee Bright can step forward, which is what we're hoping.
It would be great if he was in third place. That would be perfect.
That would be last place.
But, you know, I had last night on Dr. Pam Bolo, who is one of the most hated female Republicans in the country. And she made that list as number two behind Matt Devin out of Kentucky. The number four person that liberals hate in this country is Mr. Bright. So when liberals tell you up front who they don't want you to send to Washington, those are the people that you should send to Washington, just to put your thumb right in their eye.
Absolutely, absolutely. Want to remind everyone that we are also broadcasting on Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina. So I want to say hi to all my friends here in the Lowcountry, Horry County, and down the Grand Strand. Also, we are being carried on Tea Party Community. So if you are tired of Facebook and you want to find a social media that works similar to Facebook, but without all the burdens and all the BS, go to teapartycommunity.com. My friend Tim Tapp, who was in the chat room a few moments ago, also is hosted up on Tea Party Community. And it's a way to get our message to the audience we want, conservatives, Republicans, and libertarians. So check out teapartycommunity.com and also check out Kinetic Hi-Fi. We got a lot of stuff here going on, Ken.
We do. These are the best and the worst of times, thanks to the liberals. It is the worst of times, thanks to the conservatives. It is the best of times.
Well, I've got a clip here, if I can get myself around to my other computer. And I'm going to play this. This is from Fox News Special Report with Brett Baer. And this is my buddy, Charles Krautheimer. Let me see if I can get this to play. Hit the play button. That would help.
The weakness of Europe that precipitated all this, and it wasn't Obama's flinching on Syria. When Putin had to make a calculation whether to go into Ukraine, and Ukraine isn't Georgia, a small republic that is sort of on the fringes of the West. Ukraine's at the crossroads, a huge country. To go into Ukraine and detach and take over, to invade Crimea is a huge step, and he would only have done it with a president who was shown from the very beginning that he is living in a fantasy world. Remember the speech he gave at the UN when he started his administration? He said no nation can or should dominate another. I mean, there's not a 12-year-old in the world who believes that. And he said the alignment of nations rooted in the cleavages of the long ago Cold War make no sense in this interconnected world. As our Secretary of State said today or yesterday, after all this is a 19th century action in a 21st century world, as if what he means is actions where governments pursue expansion, territory, domination, no longer exist in this century, as if that hasn't been a constant in all of human history since Hannibal. They imagine the world as a new interconnected world where climate change is the biggest threat, and they are shocked that the Russians actually are interested in territory.
You mentioned
All right, that was Charles Krautheimer, and he nailed it right on the head. You know, the naivety of Obama in this situation is absolutely outstanding.
You know, I think it's the worst of seasons when Bob Costas, a sportscaster, speaks out vehemently against Vladimir Putin and at the Sochi Games, which were the Olympics that were held in Russia. And we can't get a mere voracious condemnation from our own president. I can earnestly say that a man who has great weaknesses is first recognized in his own home, and others will exploit that outside of it. And Vladimir Putin has played him like a Vienna symphony. And unfortunately, the heavy price will be paid on the Eastern Bloc nations, which once had hope and promise when they took off the chains from Russia, and are now being placed back on their very necks and their very lives as a result of us having a very weak commander-in-chief and a very weak foreign policy president.
Absolutely. And you look at their Crimea is a large part of their access to water. I mean, the sea is right there. So if you take out Crimea, that whole area, you're not exactly landlocking it, but you're giving them very little access, and you're basically cutting them off. We've got another BTR host that has called in. Thomas, good afternoon.
Hi, Annie. I'm just listening in on mute. I don't have a question, just a great topic of conversation. But I do have one question. Did Russia actually invade Ukraine yet, or are they still on the border?
Well, there are troops there, but there's no insignia. Yet some of the equipment they have has Russian insignia on it. So
okay.
It's like saying, no, we didn't, but maybe they did. So,
from all impending reports, Crimea has been virtually assaulted by this particular prime president, per se. And the hopes that the world has is that they do not move forward north into the Ukraine, or from the western portion of which, where they are, into the Ukraine, because that would truly be an invasion of great magnitude. And the unfortunate thing is that there's no one in NATO who's standing forward and saying that we will repel the offense.
Well, who's left in NATO? It's only the United States. There are no other countries in NATO. So if we're not going to do anything, then NATO will not do anything. And if you expect the European Union to do something, all Russia has to do, and which they're already doing, is raising the price of the natural gas and oil. And the European Union is saying, uh-oh, the next thing they're going to do is turn it off, and we're in deep trouble. And they are. So the European Union has no power to act because they have the sword is held against their throat. You know, go ahead and act, and I'll just chop your head off.
Exactly. And this is where five and a half years of this war against the Keystone Pipeline and all other avenues of approaches to natural resources that such European nations and others could have easily turned to us and to be defended in their democratic efforts and not fear the efforts of Russia and other terroristic organizations, but we don't have, or we do have the availability, we don't have the actual production that's necessary to compete or to provide the extensive support necessary for those particular European nations. And again, you just see the fallacies of this utopic foreign policy by our president. It was spoken of on Sunday by the Washington Post that this is the type of foreign policy that leads you to fantasy land. And we have a president who would prefer to be minimizes the power and authority and the gravitas that we have as a great nation to make us equals with Russia. And that's the least of Vladimir Putin's decisions. He would prefer us to be weakened by this particular president so he can be strengthened to move further in his assault of Europe and, I really believe, into the Middle East.
Well, you got to remember, Sarah Palin hit it right on the head. She said that if they allow Georgia to be harassed by Russia, the next would be the Ukraine. Now, my husband and his family fled from Latvia. They were displaced persons after World War II. His father was held in a prisoner of war camp, first underneath the Nazis and then under the Soviets. They fled. They knew what communism was. And Latvia only got its freedom in the 90s. They're still a young nation. And there are three countries sitting on the Baltic Sea that Russia would like to get back. Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. And they especially want Latvia for the port city of Riga, which is their capital. Now, when Latvia got its freedom, we were hearing stories left and right about Latvians chasing out Russians. And they actually went so far as to the main cemetery in the city of Riga, started to dig up the Russian graves, saying, this is our land. We don't even want the dead bodies here. And that's how much hatred these people have of Russians. And this is exactly what's going on in the Ukraine. You've got a large segment in Crimea, I believe it's like 60% or more, that are Russian and Russian-speaking and loyal to Russia. And the rest of the Ukrainians. So you've got a country that in itself is split. So, you know, there's no good side to this argument. There is no good side. All we can do is tell Russia to back off, place sanctions on them, you know, put our assets in place, get some ships out there in the Black Sea. You know, come on, go up there and our vessels out in the Black Sea. Just to say, hey, listen, if you're going to saber-rattle, we'll saber-rattle back, and then sooner or later we're both going to back down, but we're going to be taking equal steps. You know, this really got me nuts, listening to Kerry last night talking about, oh, we made great strides with the Russians, and great alliances. We have the START Treaty. I'm going, and how did that benefit? How did that benefit us? Excuse me? Show me a single missile or a single major armament that the Russians decommissioned. Tell me one that they destroyed. There's not one. And how many did we destroy? We're down, what, to a third of what we had before? And how did that work out, guys? If that's how they do the START Treaty, anything else you try to negotiate with them is going to work? So they said Bubblehead Kerry over there? And they say, oh, we're going to send Biden, too? Oh, please.
Well, talk
hey, Annie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Annie. I just wanted to say this. You got to keep in mind, though, as wholesome as we think our country is sometimes, I can honestly tell you, we didn't exactly stick to the START Treaty either. We did destroy some missiles, but we didn't destroy as many as people think. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I'm glad we didn't, because had we done it, we would have had nothing to go up against. I mean, nothing.
Exactly.
So I'm glad we didn't. And instead, we should be rebuilding those armaments, saying, hey, listen,
now
Russia broke the treaty first. Now we're turning around going back up to pre-treaty levels.
Right. And that's what I agree with you. Now we didn't destroy as many missiles as people think, but we're not building more. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't already have a nuclear ballistic missile sub somewhere in the area. I honestly believe, and this is kind of an anti-conspiracy theory, I believe that we may have people who are in our deep reaches of our intelligence who may be actually going against some of the things that this administration is pushing. I really believe that, and the reason why I believe that still is because I still believe in the strength of those of us like your guest, yourself, Cool Mike, myself, and many others who believe that this nation is still great. So I refuse to write off our nation. So that's
well, I won't write it off either, Thomas, but I sincerely doubt what you were saying is happening. I love you. You know how much I love you dearly, but I got a bridge in Brooklyn I can sell you to.
Well, Annie, I'll tell you why I say that. I have two very good friends on Facebook. One friend, his name's Michael Dozier, and one thing that he does is counter terrorist intelligence, and I'll just leave it at that. And then my other friend, he works and has friends in the NSA and in deep levels of intelligence. So, you know, he and I every now and then we have conversations about what's going on. And he's like, you know, Thomas, a lot of people are assuming that they're not doing anything about it. And he said, I can tell you this, there are plans in place. So that's why I'm saying it's not just you know, just because we don't see what's going on doesn't mean it's not happening. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I hope and I pray you might be right. But Ken, you were starting to say something before.
I believe with all my heart and soul that there are things that are going on that we cannot see. Because God is the creator of both the visible and invisible, so we cannot speak for those things that we cannot see. But what we can see is that we have a president who time and time and time again has been given an opportunity to be the leader of the world.
Yes.
And the only time that he ever felt comfortable at the desk where it said president was when he was president of the United Nations. So the bottom line is we have an individual who I don't trust as commander-in-chief, that I don't trust as a foreign policy specialist. Anytime
right.
that you send Kerry and Biden over to handle the affairs of state, there is a significant decrease when you compare that to Bush being able to send a Condoleezza Rice over
right.
Or Rumsfeld to deal with matters of the state. The bottom line is that we have a significant decrease in legitimate leadership on the world stage. While people may criticize George Bush, and I'm one of the critics of him when it comes to foreign policy, but on economic policy here in the States, I am not critical of how he handled bringing people together for important seasons, and he was not afraid to saber rattle. He was not afraid to tell you that
right.
I have nuclear armory, and I will use it. We may have a different way of saying nuclear, but he was not afraid to tell you that I got him.
Right, right. And, you know, this is one thing that I can say about President Bush that I will admire even more, you know, like you, his economic policy, sometimes they suck. And so there's no getting around that. But I'm going to tell you something. He's done something that is still he's not given credit for, and he did it out of the genuineness of his heart, and it's the character of who he is. That president put more minority people in high positions of influence than any other president combined in the history of this nation. And it wasn't just low-level aides. You look, Condoleezza Rice was his national security advisor. And wasn't she Secretary of State, too, at one time, or am I wrong on that?
No, you're wrong on that. No, she wasn't.
But she was national security advisor, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And then what's his name? General Colin Powell. He was our Joint Chiefs of Staff. There was many others. You had he nominated Mr. Gonzalez. I forget his first name for Attorney General, but he got blasted by the liberals. So this man, one thing you can say, you may not have liked his policies, and Oprah Winfrey learned firsthand when she interviewed him. She accused him to his face of being racist in his reaction to Hurricane Katrina. And I'll never forget it. President Bush said, there's a lot of things that people can say about me, but one thing you can't say I will not tolerate is being called racist, because I am not racist. And he said it just like that. Oprah Winfrey sat back in her chair. Her eyes got big, and she really couldn't say nothing. And then she kind of stammered over her words after that. And when President Bush made that comment, my respect for him went through the roof, because that man is maybe a lot of things, but racist is one thing he is not. And I will defend him to my last breath in that category.
All right.
Well, right now I bet a lot of people missing him in office right now because we wouldn't have. I don't agree in bailouts, you know, TARP and a lot of the other things. But when it came to defending the United States, that man had a pair of cojones.
Yes.
How to say that?
You know, I'm looking forward to the next president. Whoever is running, and people have to remember, back in 1979, there were a host of issues, not just the Middle East and Iran, that Jimmy Carter was failing in terms of world policy. And there was someone from the outside, Ronald Reagan, who was bringing in that cowboy image to the fore, that he was willing to save a rattle, that he was willing to stand up for the strength of our country and promote that to the highest level. There are some GOP presidential candidates who are sitting on the sidelines right now, haven't made their determination, but should be at this particular point being as boisterous and rambunctious as they possibly can in terms of speaking of the great strength like Ronald Reagan did during his election campaign. Because you do that during this time period to give strength to your friends on foreign soil and to allay the fears at home that there will be those who prefer peace through strength and not peace through diplomacy. Every time we've ever used, you can ask Brezhnev on that one, every time we've ever used the diplomacy strategy, we've always gotten bit in the butt.
Absolutely. Now, Bigfoot did correct us. Thomas was correct. Condi was Secretary of State after Colin Powell. So thanks, Bigfoot. Sorry about that, Thomas. You were right. We were wrong. And yeah, come to think of that.
No problem, Annie.
You know, we've got this. He's sending Kerry over there, but he had a 90-minute conversation with Putin. Now, can you imagine that? Can you see Putin sitting there holding the phone to his ear for 90 minutes? He must have been on the floor laughing his butt off listening to the crap that he was being told by Obama. Just try to imagine that conversation. You know, please don't go into Crimea. You're making me look bad. I told you you'd have more leeway after I was elected, but not this much, just a little bit at a time. Don't you mind? Can you imagine that conversation?
The great failure is drawing another line in the sand. That's really not – there's no confidence in your ability to draw anyway. That's why we gave you the Crayola. But the bottom line is that you do not want to hear this gentleman raise another line across telling them that if you knock this chip off my shoulder, I'll pick it back up and step back, and then I'll draw another line. Putin has already – radared and photographed and got this person's very soul. He knows exactly how he's going to react. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He saw that with Syria, and that was his testing ground. When he saw him back down in Syria, he knew he had him. And from that particular point on, it's been the Putin show. The Olympics, the actions in Syria, the actions in Iran, it's been the Putin show, and unfortunately for those people who are in the Eastern Bloc, that show is going to keep going until the day that Obama steps out of the White House.
Absolutely, and that just goes to show Romney was exactly right. When asked what was the greatest threat to the geopolitical of the United States, he said it was Russia. Because when you look at all these conflicts, the Russians have had their hands in everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely everything. China is siding with Russia. And guess what's right next to China? You've got that madman in North Korea. So if China sides with Russia, we're really in some big...
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Annie, because I was going to say before you said that, that China is watching this, and they have already made their strides into the area of the East Asian Sea. And they have decided that it's theirs, all of the territory that belongs on the Asian Sea, and I would pretty much say even the Pacific Ocean is theirs. And they are there attempting to build their army, their navy capabilities, their submarine and their warplane capabilities to a level, although they're about 30 or 40 years behind us, with the amount of debt that we give them or money that we give them for our debt, you can easily catch up on years. And so as they're watching what Russia is doing, it incites them to continue to encourage North Korea to do what they do to South Korea.
It is. And, you know, the funniest, not the funniest, but it's no coincidence that Putin comes forward with these statements and these actions the very day Obama says he's cutting back on the military. Chuck Hagel just made a statement for Obama, and Putin says, okay, perfect time, here we go.
Checkmate.
Hey, Annie.
Yes.
I just wanted to point something out. What's your guest name again? Because I missed it. Is it Ken?
That's Ken from the Exceptional Conservative. And I got to say, I got to apologize to those that listening on Kinetic Hi-Fi. I apologize. I forgot to activate the connection between here and there. So, guys, please, you know, you can yell at me. You can curse me out. My fault. My bad. So,
Ken. So what I was going to say, Annie, was this. It's very clear because, you know, you look at the Book of Revelation and a lot of people, a lot of Christians, especially over here, we freak out because we really don't see any references to America in Book of Revelation. So a lot of people take that to automatically assume that America was wiped off the face of the earth. For me personally, I don't believe that. But I want to point out something else in the Book of Revelation. And it specifically talks about the city of Damascus, Syria. And it says that Damascus will be wiped off the face of the earth. And so, as you know, as we sit back and we watch everything that's going on, you know, you have to wonder, is this a moment? Because it really is a two-pronged attack. It's what we do in the natural, how we react in the natural, but as we're reacting in the natural, we're beginning to react in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? And even a lot of Christians are forgetting that. And so we have to know if we are in Christ Jesus, we know for those of you who are believers, you know where your strength and your source is. We have to combine our super God with our natural, and we can overcome any obstacle. And that's not just lip service. That is true. And we have to apply it to the situation that we're facing from this administration today. Ken, am I right or wrong?
Well,
you are absolutely right. You are positively right. One of the founding fathers made it very plain that the Constitution that was created for this particular great nation, under duress through the occupation of the British and their taxation and other military offense against us, the only way that we were going to be able to stand as a great nation is through a moral people. And that moral people are divinely inspired.
Right.
They may not necessarily be inspired by your preacher or my preacher, but there is a constant, and that is the Word of God. And so the basic Word of God becomes the foundation for our Constitution. The Constitution, when we abide by it, becomes a buffer against both foreign and domestic individuals who are attempting to destroy us inside and out. And it also becomes a speak piece, per se, to the entire free world. That's why I know that individuals will retort that we're not supposed to be policemen to the world, and I don't believe in the strategy of police. But we should be able to give our friends, in times of duress, encouragement, the same encouragement that we received at the time of the revolution. So our friend Israel should not be coming to Washington, D.C., and worried if the same way Obama is treating the Ukraine, he will be treated. That should not be our concern amongst our friends. Our friends, and thank God Egypt recovered from its Muslim Brotherhood fever, our friends should know that we're going to be there for them in times of duress and in times of celebration, and that only comes when we make our true commitment to God and remain a moral people upright before Him to be an encouragement and solace for the world.
Yeah, I got to apologize. Skype kicked me out, so it took me a few moments to get back in, so I didn't catch everything you said, Ken. So
it was beautiful. It was brilliant. Don't worry about it. It was fine.
I was starting to say, I've noticed a phenomenon the last few years, especially in my church. I've noticed more people coming. I find more people are willing to speak out about their faith. You know, look at Matthew McConaughey at the Grammys. No, was it the Oscars?
Yeah, it was the Oscars. Yeah,
yeah, and the number of religious films that have come out. I think
you know, there is a film that I do want to see. It's called Son of God. And that had been promoted vehemently over the past 3 weeks or so. Hello? Well, I just wanted to say that I really wanted to see the Son of God. And please, no one give away the ending. Please don't give away the ending. I don't know how it's going to end. Just joking. But it's a movie I truly want to see. And what Hollywood is beginning to find out is that Americans are moving away from the crash and shoot 'em up and the bang-bang. And they want family-oriented films. They want to be closer to their families. And so it's important that we support actors and producers and directors that promote godly filming or at least family-oriented filming. Now, a transvestite movie, I don't know necessarily if that's going to fit within that caliber, but nonetheless, it was always great to hear that a man blames God for his successes instead of condemning him for his personal failures. And so it was good to hear Matthew McConaughey give that speech at the Oscars. Good thoughts, Thomas.
It absolutely was fantastic, and everyone was cheering, and that was the good part. And I'm glad more and more, you know, Hollywood elite are starting to step forward and say, you know, I do have faith. You know, it's what keeps me together.
Yeah, it was a great change of pace because just 3 weeks earlier, we had Queen Latifah marrying people at a music awards. So what a change of pace to hear from Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, and he is one of the A-list, too, which is really heartening. And like I said, the number of films, not just The Son of God. There was the one Noah, several others. And I guess Hollywood had a tendency to do good quality because you think all the way back to, what's her name, Ingrid Bergman in Joan of Arc. And they've had religious films, and it was when Hollywood was more family-friendly. I turned on the TV one day waiting for a show to come on, and the TV show Three and a Half Men was just coming towards the end. And I stopped just for a second just to look at it and say, I was asking myself, what is so special about this show? It's been on the air for a long time, and everyone's always talking about it. I never watched it, so I stood there for a few moments. And I would say probably took me a total of 45 seconds, not even a full minute. I was switching the channel. I said, I'm going to watch something else until the show I want comes on. I said, this is supposed to be family-oriented. All the cursing, all the sexual innuendos and outright comments. And then there's the one with the two waitresses. What another piece of garbage. But this is what people are thinking. Normal? Oh, my. The kids can watch these shows?
Do you get a feeling, Annie, do you get this feeling that you're watching the same show over and over again? They just changed the people in it. It's just the same crap over and over and over again. There's nothing new. There's nothing blazing. There's nothing historical. There's nothing that's going to encourage you after you leave the TV. I think that has a remarkable impact on our families, on our children, on educational outcomes. What we put into our bodies from watching the morass that we see on a daily basis. I was leaving my show, leaving my home earlier this morning, and for the rest of the day, my wife is at home, and I know it's going to be on TV if she's watching it. It's going to be divorce court. It's going to be family court. It's going to be Maury Povich. It's going to be Who's Your Daddy? And all this breakdown and degradation of the family, and that's emitted 24 hours a day. It's the same crap. We just need something new, something that gives us revival.
That's true. And you don't really find that many shows that are uplifting. They either have that type of garbage where they want the fighting. They want to pit one person against another. You know, the survivor type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll end up with, you know, this garbage soap opera stuff. I'm not saying soap operas themselves. I'm talking about that type of attitude in other shows. And they'll be talking about, you know, cosmetic makeup or anything else like that. Nothing substantial. You know, it's either look on the outside, but not how you behave on the inside. Who cares what you look like? And right now, if I looked in the mirror, I'd probably scream because of the bandages that are around my eye. Those that listened earlier, I ended up literally in the middle of a cat fight. One of my cats got jealous that the other one was waking me up ahead of him, and he went to take a swipe, and my eye got in the way. So I've got these bandages and everything. My eye will probably be nice and black tomorrow when I go in to get my ashes. It'll match
wow.
the ashes.
You know, but I'm praying that you feel a whole lot better. Also, Mike and his family, our prayers are extended to them during this trial and tribulation in their family. You know, it's always good to have people who understand your situation and do whatever they can to support. And you all are very supportive. I've listened to you over the months. I've tuned into your show. I love the intro that you do in terms of the fallen soldier. You bring me to tears at times when I'm listening to it. And listening to Mike and you banter one to another and do basically investigative journalism as people are being interviewed, it's just a wonderful experience listening to Southern Sense. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity of being on the air with you today.
Oh, no, you're flattering me. You're making me blush from head to toe. But our prayers are with Mike and his family, and hope everything works out well. I will be trying to call him later on because I really am worried about him and his family. But my little scratches are nothing compared to what's going on there. But you never know how many times you touch your eye during a day. You know, all of a sudden I'm realizing how many times I touch my eye. But anyway.
You're hoping that this will be the last time I have to touch it. This will be the last time I have to touch it.
You know, the worst part was is that, you know, think about, you know, people in their vanity. It's just a thought that hit my mind that when he was putting the Band-Aids on the upper lid, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, when I go to take these bandages off in a couple of days, it's going to rip out my eyebrow, and is it going to go back? Stupid. I'm right there thinking this, and I'm going, no, I just did not do that. Oh, God, please forgive me. Forgive my vanity. But, oh,
hey,
the stupid things you think of.
You know what? I really think that's okay. I really think it's okay because, listen, God made beautiful people, and he wants them to stay that way. So there you go.
A couple of scars on them. We got another caller coming in. Let me bring this caller in on the line. Area code 845. You're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Wow, this is Bob here. I can't believe it. I just dialed and pressed one. You answered the phone.
We do try to give our listeners a little run for their money.
This is unbelievable. Nobody gives service like this. Unless they're running for Congress.
Oh, Mike's been trying to get me to run for elective office, but I promised my mama a long time ago when I cast my first vote, which was for Ronald Reagan, in a primary when he won for the election of president, I said, Mom, don't worry. I will never go into politics. I will clean sewers first. And it's kind of like
Well, don't say that. You don't want to start cleaning sewers right now. It's not a good idea. I guess you haven't heard the news. The Black Plague has broken out again in Madagascar. This time it's going worldwide. So let's hope it doesn't get here too soon, but they're saying within a couple of months it'll be over here. And I hate to give you the news about that, but you mentioned sewers. And, not good. The winter's going to last all the way through April. That's not good either. I'm up in New York City walking across the street like a dummy to get a cup of coffee for a stupid cup of coffee in a bodega. And it's 1 degrees. Then it hits zero. It hits zero. At 5:30. 5:30 this morning. I'm 11 miles north of West Point on the Hudson River.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Newburgh, New York. The famous place where Lucille Ball came with Desi Arnaz every year to go to the certain theater here, the Ritz Theater. And they always put on a big show here.
Okay.
I guess she was from this area, somewhere in the area of Newburgh. She was born here or something.
I don't know history, but I know the area that you're talking about.
George Washington was here, had his headquarters here, the last headquarters, before he was elected president.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on Long Island, so I know about the Battle of Long Island and all the other things that happened around with the Revolutionary War. And I was a cop in Brooklyn, too, so you can hear the New Yorker in me. So I know.
I definitely can hear it. One of my girlfriends, when I was in Vietnam in 1966, she lived in Lake Ronkonkoma. You know that city?
I know Ronkonkoma very well. We used to go out to the lake over there all the time.
Wow.
I came from Suffolk, and then my family had moved to Nassau. And before I moved down here to South Carolina, I was living out in Northport, New York. So,
You went to South Carolina?
Lovely South Carolina, where it's not exactly warm. Yesterday got up to about 72. Today we got a little bit of a cold snap. It's about 45, 50. So we're feeling the weather too. But our cold will last maybe another week or two, and then we start up with beautiful 70 going to 80 degrees. So,
Not this year.
Oh, yes, it
will. All the way through April. It's expected to be the worst winter in history.
Well, we'll see. I have a funny feeling.
Did you win the primary?
I'm not in a primary. I'm not running for office.
It says Katrina Pearson for Congress.
Well, I'm your host, Annie, the radio trick. Katrina will be calling in approximately 10 minutes. And she has
running?
She is running Texas. District 32 in Texas. She'll be calling at 3:45. And her primary, she's an hour off. So I don't know if it closes at 7 or 9 in Texas tonight. So we'll know later on tonight whether or not she's won. But our prayers, and we're crossing our fingers, and we're telling anyone out there in the great state of Texas, get out there and vote for your conservative candidate. And if you're in District 32 in Texas, get out and vote for Katrina Pearson. And she's going to love you.
Is she a Democrat or a Republican?
She is a Republican. She is a Republican.
Good. That's good. We need to calm down these demos here. That's all they are. They're demos. They put on a show. They're demos. They're not the real thing. They never have been. Demos are demos. That's it.
But we've got Bigfoot in the chat room made a nice joke. The state is New York. The city is New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it. I've been out here since 1997. I hail from California. I came from California. The only reason I'm not out in California now is because California and 6-7 western states have the Black Plague pokey there, and that's not good. So I wish all those people luck out there during the next couple of months. But I'm killing rats. I'm killing rats. We got to kill 750 million rats in the next 2 months. Now, it's going to take a lot of people to kill them rats out there. You want to run on the platform, run on kill rats.
Okay.
Get all the people of America to kill rats because it's a very serious thing. You don't believe me, check the headlines. Check the World Health Organization.
All right, Bob, we're going to bring ourselves back online on what we have scheduled for the show because Ken and I were talking about the change in religion here in the United States. Now, Ken, I'm going to ask you, do you know about the Ramaki story, the German immigrants that were homeschooling their kids?
Yes, I have references to those, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I've got a little clip here I'm going to play. Let me play this here.
If the Court of Immigration Appeals turned down our asylum completely, it would mean they would send us back to Germany, where we would face the same persecution as when we left. That means we would be increasingly high fined, and we would have to face jail time if we don't pay the fine, and we might lose whatever, like house and every thing we'd be that belongs to us, we would have to lose. We would be under the threat of losing custody of our children. That means they would try to win our.
That was Mr. Duncan. And yesterday, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. So at this point, these people are facing deportation simply because all they want to do is homeschool their children.
You know, actually, they would have to face that if they would just get on welfare, if they would just use food stamps, if they would just vote for Obama, if they would send the kids to public school and not worry about their outcomes, if they would only just surrender their values and their principles, then they could make good citizens here in the United States. What a great immigration policy that is, huh?
Yeah. And instead, you have illegal immigrants sitting in jail, not facing deportation. You know, they're sitting in jail because they committed a crime. They're not allowed to ask them their immigration status, and then they're not going to be deported. They're going to be released back into our society to commit another crime again. And the growing number of Hispanics that are now sitting in jail that are illegal immigrants is growing at a fast pace. I did a show on this, and I had all the numbers and everything in front of me. And if it was an equal portion of society, say, for example, you know, a certain town has X amount of, you know, black, African-American, or X amount of Hispanic, X amount of, you know, non-Asians or white or whatever, and you look at the jail population, it doesn't match the society. It's off.
Yeah.
It's way off. And you see the young male with the majority of the population, and that is fast changing. It no longer is that.
You know, and after speaking with Bob and listening to him speak of his experiences in New York, there is one great experience that New Yorkers are going to have to deal with, and that's de Blasio and the great New York City and his unholy alliance with the unions and their attempt to destroy the charter schools that are there. And the amazing thing is that it doesn't matter what race there is in the demographic, the attacks on the charter schools is causing parents to decide, I would rather homeschool my kid than send them back to public schools. And so you have in a very liberal, very communistic city, this desire to keep kids away from that socialized debt. And it goes back to us being a moral people. If there is true freedom in this country, the one thing that we should not do is destroy the opportunity for the next generation to excel academically.
And if a parent wants to homeschool their kid, I don't care if they just arrived here or if they've been here as a sixth-generation citizen. The bottom line is they should have the right to educate their children in the capacity that God has divinely orchestrated for them and ordained since the beginning of time.
And it's government getting in between the parent and the child. Government is supposedly knowing what's right. You know, how can you tell me what is right? You know, government's job is only to protect the peace and enforce the laws. That's it. That is it. You're not supposed to tell me what I can or cannot teach my child. You cannot tell me who can or cannot come to my church. You cannot tell me that my church must accept gay marriage when my religion tells me no. You know, it's government stepping in between the family and society. You know, hey.
You know, you've given me, Annie, you've given me inspiration, and I think I'm going to do this week while I'm in CPAC for the big thing that's happening here at Gaylord National Harbor. I'll be there Thursday, Friday. But the idea of looking at Thomas Jefferson's letter and how that was misconstrued by Justice Black to synthesize the problems that we have today in our educational system, the imaginary separation of church and state, and it is a true fallacy. It has been harmful, and if you can separate a man from his faith, there's nothing else that's left in terms of freedom and liberty. And we need to start fighting heavily against those that want to take away our ability to think for ourselves, to live for ourselves, and to desire to govern for ourselves. And it's wonderful being on your program this afternoon. You have been a great hostess and friend to me, and I appreciate all the support you've given me on my program over the past year.
Oh, I'm so glad that you are on the air, and I welcome you back anytime, Ken. You know that.
I'm looking forward to it.
And if you got a show coming up, why don't you put it up in the chat room so people can see where they can find you. And Thomas, you do the thing. And I welcome anyone else who has a show out there. Feel free to post it in the chat room. I do not have a big ego, so you will not be upsetting me. So go ahead and enjoy.
God bless. Y'all take care.
God bless. You have a great day. And hope to see you on Friday.
We'll do.
All right, Thomas, but this is a growing problem. The more government interferes, the more they mess things up. You know, never expect government to act responsibly. And that's what we're here for. That's why we're the watchdogs. Isn't that true?
Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely right.
And that's what we have to do. Each and every one of us, when we see something, you got to speak out. You know, I brought up in a previous show, a young girl was sent home to do a writing assignment, and she was supposed to put down who she admired the most in her life. And, you know, people were putting down, oh, my coach, my dad, my mom, my friend, this so-and-so teacher or President Obama. This one girl wrote an essay that the person she admired most in her life was Jesus Christ. And do you know that teacher sent the girl home with a note saying it was an inappropriate essay?
And I hope her parents went and ripped that teacher a new one.
Well, not only that, they ended up getting her up on the news, so the whole nation heard about this teacher and what the school did. Yeah, because
wow.
You have to find that your life is centered around your religious belief.
Right.
And believe, whether or not you're a Christian or you're a Jew or you're a Hindu or whatever you are, and you say, all right, I believe my life should be centered first and foremost with my belief in God. And second, my trust in my nation, my patriotism in my nation. It should not be nation first, then God. It should be we're one nation under God.
Yes.
So even our founding fathers knew that there was a power greater than government. So whether if you're an atheist, fine, that's your God. But it's a frustrating thing, and it's extremely frustrating. You know, you have people that would go, young girl was reading during her lunchtime. And any teacher should turn around and say, that child is reading. It's a wonderful thing. We want more and more of our children to enjoy reading. But what the teacher objected to was that the girl was reading the Bible. She was reading the Bible and got reprimanded for reading the Bible.
So the teacher probably wouldn't have objected if she would have been reading about Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, what's that guy who was down there in Cuba, that guy before Castro.
Che Guevara.
Yeah, that guy. Let's see, who else? Hitler, Mussolini. They'd have been, what a great study of history. Man, these teachers, honestly, some of these teachers, somebody needs to smack them. They really need to be smacked, for real. Because, first of all, until we can start, you know, the best way to make people understand and realize what's going on, you have to humiliate people. And obviously they think they're invincible, so it's time to start making them feel the pain that they're inflicting on others.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because our guest Friday, we're bringing back an author that we had on previously. He's got a book out called Manipulism. Mikkel Nissen. He's from Denmark, and he wrote this book about how he had an awakening, realizing that the socialism he was living in, the collectivism, as he calls it, that he was living under, was not a good thing. And it took him a long time, and it took him 10 years to do the study, to look at everything, and put all the facts together. And what he writes in his book is that in order to control society, that's exactly what they did, what you just said. They have to humiliate you. They have to belittle you and make you feel small. That way they control you. And then in order for you to feel better, you have to go and bully someone else.
Right.
And if someone doesn't conform, they're bullied, which is exactly what Mr. Rumpke was talking about in his interview here. He's saying they will threaten us. They will,
right.
They will humiliate us. They will
right.
go after us. They will do anything and everything to ruin and rip us apart. And that's how the collectivism makes you think that you're okay. Because you think about this. If someone is a bully, they feel good about being better than you, or so they think they're better than you. But the only reason why they're bullying you is because they're not better than you. They need to make themselves feel like they're better. And that's how collectivism works. And we're going to be talking
right.
to Mikkel Nissen on Friday about his book and going through all of that. But that's exactly what we had with Harry Reid. Let me see if I can get that clip up. I have it here on the other computer. Harry Reid was recently on the floor. And let's see if I can bring this up. And see what we got. Just bear with me for a second while I try to put this up. We got an advertisement. I hate these clips that have advertisements in front. They really are.
Right.
You go do that and you want to watch something, and now you've got this, you know, 2-minute advertisement that goes on and on and on and on. And they're
right.
all stupid anyway. Just bear with me. Skip ad. Here we go. And here's
are numerous, but here are three of the CMD's most hypocritical moves. Number one.
Oh, twice. Oh, jeez. Let's see if we can get this again. Here we go.
Health insurance they could afford and they could trust. Despite all that good news, there's plenty of horror stories being told. All of them are untrue, but they're being told all over America.
He's looking at his notes.
The leukemia patient whose insurance policy was canceled would die without her medication. Mr. President, that's an ad being paid for by two billionaire brothers. It's absolutely false. or the woman whose insurance policy went up $700 a month. Ads paid for around America by the multi-billionaire Koch brothers, and the ad is false. We heard about the evils of Obamacare, about the lives it's ruining. Republican stump speeches and then ads paid for by oil magnates, the Koch brothers. But in those tales, turned out to be just that, tales.
Okay, he just called everyone out there that had a problem with their health care because of Obamacare, liars. Now, I think I got our guest here on the line. Let's see if this is. Area code 214, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to? Area code 214, you're on the air live. Okay, I guess that person is not here. Anyway, they dropped. Their call dropped. Oh, well. Anyway, Tom.
That is, Annie, that's the Texas number. That was. That may have been.
That was probably Katrina. So I hope that she'll call back in. Her call dropped. She probably got her cell phone. She'll call back in. I don't know. Did you know I had met her a couple of years back?
Oh, really?
Yes. She and I had some great, great conversations. She was a guest speaker at the South Carolina Tea Party Convention a few years back, and she is as witty as she is beautiful. So Katrina, if you got someone out there in the chat room listening in, please dial back in. She's running around crazy because today is the primary in Texas. So anyone out there listening that is in Texas, make sure you get out there. Primary. If you are 630, Katrina Pearson, and her website, I put it up in the chat room earlier, is KatrinaForCongress.com. So get out there and give her a couple of bucks. I'm going to put the link again up in the chat room, Katrina for Congress. If I can spell. And it's up in the chat room. So anyway, Harry Reid, he was doing exactly what we were talking about. It's the manipulation by bullying, by insulting, by putting down. And when you do that, they try to make you feel ashamed. Well, there's nothing to feel ashamed about for speaking out on the truth. And simply because he has his lies, and he has his lies on the floor of the House, our House, Congress, we're supposed to feel cowed. No. Sorry, Congressman. I'm sorry. Harry Reid, all wrong. I'm sorry. Senator Reid. Let me get it right. Senator Reid, he's wrong. He can be on the floor of Congress. I don't care. You can say anything you want, but don't insult the intelligence of the American people. We won't stand for it. And a lot of people, when he made that statement, wrote to the congressmen and the senators. And I believe it was Mike Rogers that was on an interview. It may have been Fox. I had been walking through the room. Yes, I always have a TV on some news station, always flipping around. And he was saying he was inundated with phone calls, emails, letters from people that say, hey, my insurance was canceled or my premium did jump up. And Harry Reid is wrong. And they didn't appreciate being called a liar by someone that was elected by the American people. You know, we did not elect you and pay you your salary for you to insult us. But that is exactly how collectivism works. They will insult you and make you feel like you should be honored that they are representing you. Well, our landline is open. We've got about only about 5 minutes left on the show, and I'm sorry Katrina's call did not go through. And hopefully she will win her primary tonight. I want to thank everyone that's been in the chat room. We've had a great time. Thomas, you have been wonderful help here today, as long with Tom. And do you have a show going on tonight?
What's that?
Do you have a show going on tonight?
Well, actually, I lost access to the internet because of my phone, so my phone no longer works. So.
All right. Well, we miss you on the air there, and I'm glad that you do call into the show. I see Vito is up in the chat room. Vito, if you've got a show coming up tonight, feel free to push. I see Robert and if you got a show, feel free to put it up in the chat room. Like I said, I don't have an ego, I don't mind. And I want everyone to enjoy the week. We will be back here on Friday. Our guest will be Mikhail Nissan. He wrote the book Nepotism, and when we had him on, he had the book, and it wasn't exactly.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, thank you, Thomas.
Have a good night.
Love you too, Thomas. Thank you. He didn't feel it was complete. He felt there was a couple of chapters that needed to be reworked. So he has actually completed the book. The book is in its final form. It's up on Amazon.com, and we will be putting the link on that on the show page when I put that show page up. So I hope everyone will join us back here again on Friday as we talk with Mikhail Nissan, and hopefully Cool Mike will be with us, and our prayers are out there with his family. I hope to talk to him a little bit later on to make sure everything is okay. So, Cool Mike, we miss you, and we hope that you will be back here again with us. And I'm looking at seeing, yes, Kel and Tim are going to be tonight at 6 p.m., so Vito will be on the air. Vito, feel free to put a link up in the chat room so that those are in there can find where your show is at. I want to thank Bob for participating and Ken. And we will be back here again on Friday, same bat time, same bat station, with the same nut job on the air. And I'm just going to go now, look in the mirror, and cry over how dark my eye is starting to turn because of my getting in the middle of a cat fight this morning. If you ever have pets, don't let them sleep on the bed while you're in there. Until then, I say good night and God bless. You all have a good time, and I'll see you again on Friday.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up. Trouble
you've
face.
Been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
American.
American.